But I wonder this morning if you feel like you've been raised with Christ, whether or not you feel that your minds and your hearts are set on those things above where Christ is sat. And I have to be honest and say, at times I don't feel like that. Not sure whether or not that sort of strikes me off the ability to preach, but sometimes I don't. Many of you know I've just come back from the happiest place on earth. I know that because I got a hat that says this is the happiest place on earth. So I had 9 lovely days with Mickey Mouse and his pals, and everybody smiles there. It's amazing, everyone. Everybody. And it was relaxed. It was a lot of fun. And yet, I have to admit, at times, I didn't feel like it was the happiest place on earth. At times, I was cross. There was a particular meal where I didn't like the service. And I said something to the waiter. Which is a bit barry, because I was on free food, so they couldn't even say, "And look, we'll give you a discount." But I, you know, and I just felt really cross and grumpy. And as Christians, perhaps sometimes life can be like that. You know, we have access to Jesus. We have access to the happiest place on earth. I like sometimes when I'm in the queue at Disney just to talk to people and say, actually, this isn't the happiest place on earth. You might not realise that, but there is a place that's going to be happier than this. And they sort of look at what, Universal? And you go, no. But we've got access to Jesus, and he wants to make our lives holy, lives that glorify him. And yet often, I won't say we, because you might never be any of this, I often am cross and grumpy and miserable. And we sometimes return to the way we used to live. And Paul tells us, in fact, he exhorts us to stop doing this, to put to death those things that would drag us down. And I don't know you, but the first time I read that passage, I thought, sexual immorality, nope. Impurity, nope. Lust, let's put a nope. Evil desires, let's say no. Anger, let's say no. Rage, definitely not. Malice, I don't think so. Slander, let's give it that. And it's very easy to go, nope, 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 nope. And then look at it again. And I wonder, and I think for each of us, that evil desire, for example, is going to be different. It's going to be different. We know what we desire after that isn't of God. And that's going to be different for all of us. We know what we lust after. And that's going to be different for all of us. We know what makes us angry and what makes us be full of rage. I was on a train yesterday and heading back from Oxford to Bicester, I thought, 20 minutes. I'd got into a carriage, it was completely empty. I thought, oh, this is great. I can listen to some music, can read a book, can just chill for those 20 minutes. And then these group of, and I said to Johnny when I phoned him up, I said there were 25. He said, what makes you think there were 25? I said, okay, they were between 25 and 30. Louts got onto the train. They were slightly inebriated, I think. Their language was not very nice. They ended up pouring crisps over one of the other passengers. And I felt myself getting more and more and more and more angry. And then I looked at one of them, and he was much bigger than me, and my anger sort of started. But I was full of anger, and you know, and I would have said something, and probably what I said wouldn't have been in love. Going back to the way, perhaps, I used to live. Do we always live at peace? Are we sometimes angry? And we probably know all of those triggers. Each of us know the trigger that makes us go, I wonder when we've withheld the truth from our lips. I wonder when we thought, well, actually, if I say that little lie, that might be better. You know, the clothes that we wear, our holy lives have become stained by the way that we live. And Paul knew that. Paul knew that. That's why he said, you know, the big, perhaps the bigger things first, you know, your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And I'm sure the, you know, those Colossians, as that letter was read to the church, there were people going, no, 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 yay, I'm all right here. And then he went, well, okay, how about anger? How about rage? How about malice? How about slander? How about filthy language? How about not lying? And I'm sure they went, oh yes, we've done that as well. And I want us, before we explore the second half of Colossians, I want us to figuratively this morning put to death those things. To take off those clothes of the way we used to live and be bare in the front of Jesus and say, look, I'm sorry. That's the way I am. I know I shouldn't be. And I want to put it to death. I want to live my life this way. And I'm sorry. And it'll be different for each of us. Each of us will have, that list will mean different things to each of us. We won't be saying sorry for the same things. So we're going to sing two songs. And as we sing those two songs, I just want you to imagine effectively just saying, Lord, I put this to death, this. And when I was thinking about which two songs to sort of fit here, I thought in order for us to change the way we look, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. So the first song just says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And when we do that, the things of earth will just grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then we're just going to sing Purify My Heart, but we're only going to sing verse 2 where it talks about cleans us from sin deep within, because that's usually where it's here, right within us, and we need to get rid of that. And when we do, we can start looking and living like Jesus. We'll sing this sat down, but as we pray, let's put to death those things. Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. Refine as fire my heart's one desire, is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master. We are all one. We're all in Christ. He has no favourites. He chose each of us. He's forgiven each of us. We're all spotless and holy in his sight. There is nothing that we have done, nothing that we will do, that will stop him looking at us and saying, "My precious one, I love you. You are forgiven." So Paul says, because of all of that, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love that binds them together in perfect unity. It's interesting how thoughts come that you haven't written down. That was my wedding reading. And I remember my pastor, when he preached from that reading, said that if you have compassion, if you have kindness, if you have love, if you have humility, if you have gentleness, if you have patience, then what a difference that will make to each other and to your community as people see us living one way because the world lives in a different way. Now, wouldn't Buckingham be a different place if we all daily wore those clothes? If we daily clothed ourselves as Paul tells us to. And I guess that's our challenge, isn't it? Our challenge is to put on compassion, to see as Jesus sees, and then do something. And I know many of us do. To clothe ourselves with kindness, so our actions are generous, over the top, completely without reserve. Just giving and giving, and then when you think I've got to my end of giving, you just give some more. Clothe ourselves with humility, seeing ourselves no better or worse than others, because in Christ there is no Jew or Gentile, no male or female, because we're all one, and he loves us all. And looking at the world and saying, do you know, he loves there as well. And even in the worstest places where conflict is happening, you know, in Texas, where that gunman, I think it was Texas, wasn't it, in the news, in the paper, shot, you know, Jesus loves that gunman with a heart that just goes beyond. And we're called to not say, oh, well, you know, you sinner, da 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 da. Because in that first part of the passage, we had to put to death all those things. Clothing ourselves with gentleness, being tender, being mild. Not a walkover, not a carpet, but offering that hug, that ear, when it's needed, and just say, yeah, do you know I'm here? The one I lack quite a lot, patience. Not rushing to complain. Not charging in and going, I know the way, this is the way to go, but pausing and just allowing that sense of, God, are you in this? Is this the way you want me to go? What would it be like if we truly forgave others as the Lord forgave us? And if we didn't bear grudges, if we truly forgave, if it wasn't, I forgive you, but actually, I'm never going to talk to you again, I forgive you because God forgave me. Now, I remember the first time I read that Colossians 3 passage, and where he says, you know, forgive one another. And I went, yes, that's so cool. As the Lord forgave you. And I went, ooh, that's slightly harder. But that forgiveness that sent Jesus to the cross, where where God turned his face on his son and said, yeah, he can take it. He can take all the rubbish, and I forgive you, and I make you spotless, and I clean you completely, and I give you my spirit that can live inside of you to make you holy. Because if we forgave as God forgave us, then, you know, we wouldn't compare things to other people. We wouldn't judge other people. We'd do as Jesus did. And, you know, he ate with people he knew was going to betray him. He even ate with people he knew hated him. And he ate with the Pharisees and they hated him. And yet Jesus was there with them, showing them love. And as they crucified him, he didn't shout, "You bunch of sinners, you've got this so wrong. I'm the Son of God." He cried, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." And then Paul calls us to be thankful. And I go, how different life would be if we were thankful? You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to look elsewhere and to say, oh, it's so much better over there because they have this and they do it this way, and they have it this way, and they have it this way, and they do this. And that just causes splits and divisions. Whereas if we are thankful and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for our young people. You know, thank you for Roz, who just has a heart of compassion that is just unbelievable. You know, thank you for her. You know, thank you for the team that come on, they set up, you know, and thank you for all the work they do, and they tweak everything so everything's good. And, you know, and not suddenly go, oh, but sometimes there's a hiss that suddenly comes out, you know. But say, no, thank you for them for doing all the stuff that they do. That when the whole system broke down this morning, before you all got here, and at about 10:15, we didn't have a screen, and we didn't have any words up there, that actually they just went the extra mile and go, but it's okay, we'll fix it. What a difference it would be if we just thanked. To say, yeah, no, not everything might be my cup of tea, might not always be the way I like it, but thank you that you're here and that you love us. And, you know, and for me, you know, I know, and I say this to you as a congregation, I know that for me these last 2 years have been rubbish, but you guys have been loving, and that's just so cool. You know, and your love has helped me get through the last 2 years, and that's just cool, and we should be thankful about that. Thank you that as a congregation and as a family, we care for one another. And that's just cool. That's just so cool. You know, we've got in Bev a youth pastor who just loves our young people. That's just so cool. You know, that's just so cool. And then Paul goes and trumps it, doesn't he? Because he then says, and actually over all these things, put on love. You know, that's the trumping one. Put on love. But it's interesting, isn't it? Love doesn't mean that we ignore wrong action. Because Paul then goes on to say, let us teach one another and admonish one another, but through wisdom, through singing together, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, when we see people, when we see each other doing things that are causing us harm out of love, we should be saying, do you know what? Can I walk with you through that? Because that's hurting you. You know, we did that with Johnny. You know, we did that with Johnny. When he used to come to our church out of his mind with alcohol, you know, we said, can we just walk with you in that? Can we do that? Can we walk with you? Love that binds everything. You know, so we love each other enough to say, you know, that's rubbish, but not your rubbish. Never that. Never putting the other person down. I don't think we do that anyway. But rather, you know, I love you. And what that is causing you pain. And I just want to walk with you and help you to live like Jesus. And then Paul goes further and he trumps it again. He just keeps on trumping the way we should live because, you know, the world there, that town was a bit like Buckingham and a bit like the world we live in today. It's really busy and we don't know where to stop. And we think, you know, I need a holiday, but actually I've got this job to do and I've got this job to do and I need to do this and I need to do that and I need to do this and I need to do that and I need to do this. And we just keep on getting busier and busier and busier. And Paul just says, whoa, let the peace of God dwell in your hearts. Let that peace of God be here. Let him breathe on you. And as he said to his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. My peace. And he wants to give us that peace today. That peace that he spoke over the resurrection to his disciples when they were in complete turmoil because they thought they'd lost the one. And Jesus stood there and the first thing he said was peace. And I don't know about you, but if at times you need peace because you feel stressed, then we need to turn our eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and then say, Jesus, I need your peace. I need it today because I'm in turmoil. I don't want anyone else to know I'm in turmoil. I said to someone last week, they said, have you had a good week, Chris? And I went, yes. And then looked at them and went, actually, it wasn't the best of weeks. And I need peace. And if you, like me, need peace, we just need to call out to God and say, Jesus, I need peace. And then turn to someone you trust and say, do you know what? Can you pray that the peace of God is in my heart because I need that peace? And then he goes and trumps it even further. You know, so it's a whole sermon, the whole sort of passage of getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because then he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I was wondering how to end. And I just thought it would be good to have a time of just allowing, and I realise it's I've spoken for too long and I apologise, but I just thought it would be good to allow Jesus to minister to us this morning because I believe he's here. And it might be that this morning you think, do you know what? Of those fruit of the Spirit, yeah, do you know what? I do kindness or I do compassion, but you know, for me, it's gentleness. That's the one that just seems not to be flourishing into a flower. The bud's quite small on that one. Or it might be, do you know what? I do that, but actually it's forgiveness. And I know, even now I can think of the person who just, you know, I wish that, if you got struck down by a lightning bolt, not terminally killed because that's bad, but you know, just struck so he gets a bit of a bang on his head. I know the person who just winds me up, who I don't want to forgive, and it might be that person we need to pray for and say, God, I need forgiveness. You know, one of my favourite passages, a book, is Corrie ten Boom, and in it she finished off by saying the last chapter. She said, I stood at a conference and I was telling my story. And I asked people to come forward, and she said, and I was praying, and this person was coming towards me, and I just knew I had to open my eyes and look at him, so I did, and I realised it was the guard that beat my daughter, my sister, to death. And she said, this guard just walked up like this, because I talked about love, and needing a hug, and needing forgiveness, and she said, all I wanted to do was the ground to strike him dead. And she said, Lord, I cannot forgive this man, but I can offer him a hand. And she said, as she did that, God just went boom, and she was filled with love and healing and compassion and all of that for this man. And it might be that's you this morning, that you need that. I don't know. But I want to invite you. We're going to sing at least two songs. And I thought, you know, Paul had listed them as a fruit of the Spirit in another part of the Bible. So I thought, what's my favourite fruit? I love grapes. So I just invite you to come and just have a grape and say, do you know, for me, that's about peace because I need that. Or that's about forgiveness because I need that. well, that's about humility, because I need that. Or it might be like me, just thinking, actually, it's humility, peace, patience. I just need all of them, because all of them are pretty ropey at the moment. Whatever it is, come and have a grape. And then ask God to fill you with his spirit. And it might be this, you take that grape, God just goes, vroom, vroom, vroom. And if that happens, then ask the person next door to you to pray for you. Say, look, do you know what? I've just met God this morning, and I would love you to pray with me. I've no idea, but just can you just pray? Because actually I've had a rubbish week, and it'd be great for you to pray. And if not, I'm quite happy to pray. I'm sure Bev would be happy to pray. I'm sure Jeff would be happy to pray. You know, I'm sure Katie would be happy to pray. You know, just come and ask for, and we can do that as well. I don't need to sing. It's probably better if I don't sing, to be honest. So, you know, just come and have a grape. So, Father God, I just pray that you will bless this time of response.